Hit it. Dun, 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 dun.
Yay!
Yay! Here we are.
So this is our fifth podcast.
Yeah. Number five. Number five.
Five. Yay.
I know. It's great.
Right? So exciting. And I did some of my homework. Yay!
Yay, you! Yay! Well, I give you a lot of homework. I'm like the worst.
Well, I ignore you a lot, too. So, we're good friends.
Read this! I'm reading this today! You gotta find this! This is on MU! Oh my god!
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking, so we do, because we've been doing a lot of recommendations and stuff. I mean, you've been doing a lot of reading of newer stuff.
True.
So, it makes it hard for those of us that primarily depend on a MU account. So you have to start finding homework that is on Marvel Unlimited.
What I think I'm going to do this week at some point is put a long list together of everything that I'm reading that we can pass along. And that will include MU stuff too, because there's always 12 comics in the MU library at all times. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll... And if you put that together, I'll throw it up on the website for folks.
Yes. Because there's some good stuff. I've been reading the 10 or 11 Defenders. I can't remember the year. And 11, maybe, 2011 Heroes for Hire. 2010, 2011 Heroes for Hire. Okay. So.
Are those the ones, the 2011 or the yeah, whatever decade that is, Heroes for Hire. Are those the ones with Misty that start off with Misty Knight?
Yes.
In, like, yes. A coma?
Yeah. Well, yes. By issue two, she's... The Puppet Master has her, like, out of her shit. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been reading some of those, too. So, yeah. So I'll go ahead and put that on the recommended reading list that we will definitely be talking about the Heroes for Hire.
Yeah, and the Defenders is really good, too, because it's got some of our favorite, like, you know, Iron Fist guy. Danny Rand's in the Defenders one, so
yeah,
so it's pretty cute.
Yeah, Danny. And I really feel like I need to know so much more about Danny and even Luke.
Yeah,
because I did so. I mean, since we're already talking about them, and guys, I mean, I realize our last podcast we didn't talk about anything except for a little bit of Game of Thrones. In this one, we're probably going to stay on topic. We're probably going to be talking about comics and Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. A lot of stuff.
So, and I don't have any interruptions scheduled for once.
Yeah, we might be good. We could do this. Might be an hour and a half long podcast.
Yeah,
I mean, like, who knows? Because there's a lot to talk about.
Right. There's so much.
I always think there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Well, and I finally, like, dug through my text messages from you and found that I had a code for Power Man and Iron Fist number one.
Yay!
So I have officially read the first Power Fist.
That one is so much fun. It is so much fun.
And the art is so much fun.
It's old school.
It's a very new, it's a brand new comic, but the art, I think what's interesting, it's a completely different artist and a completely different author than we've been reading a lot of stuff. I mean, I feel like I read, you know, like I read a lot of Bendis.
Yes.
And even if I venture into other comics, it's probably other ones that Bendis wrote. Or I read a lot of Matt Fraction, who did Hawkeye.
Yeah, Bendis, Fraction, Brubaker.
Yeah, so even when I go into a new comic, it's usually like, I mean, at this point, it's, you know, a writer. Or you, I'm probably doing it because I recognize the writer or I like the art. And so this is one that I picked up because of the characters.
Yes.
But I have never heard of this artist or writer, and I'm looking up who it is, unless you have it in front of you.
I do not have it sitting in front of me. Usually I just sit myself with comics before I go to bed, and I sleep with them, but they're not right here beside me. Unless I have the cover, it's right here.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now, but it's the art is very different. It's very different.
Walker.
Yeah, David Walker and penciler Sanford Green.
Yes.
So does that mean he's the artist? And then I guess colored by somebody else.
Yeah.
So there's the writer, and there's the artist, and then there's a different person that comes in and does the colors.
Yeah, I love the color. I love it. I love it though. I love it. And it's so much fun after reading such, you can find yourself reading such heavy stuff.
Yeah.
That, this one is just, it brings the fun. These two together. If Netflix does not at some point cash in on Heroes for Hire, I'm going to be so upset.
I'm really interested. Well,
I know it might not fit in with their darker tone, but it's so street level. It's still so street level.
Right. It's very street level. And I'm just, looking at this one. So we'll go. I'm also reading Alias number 3, which was part of my homework.
Yay!
I haven't completely finished with it, but I'm reading some of it. But the thing is, reading these two properties at once. So Alias, for anybody that's not aware, that's the Jessica Jones comics. They came around before the TV show about the spy, and it was Alias Investigations, so the comics are called Alias. But those are the Jessica Jones comics of the time in her life that's similar to the TV show.
Yes.
But then you jump to Power Man and Iron Fist, and you've got, like, domestic Jessica with a toddler.
Well, and trying to get Luke to clean up his language, so Luke goes around saying fiddle-faddle all the time.
Yeah, fiddle-faddle. I've only read the first issue, but there was one sweet Christmas.
One sweet Christmas, but Jessica, meanwhile, all the time is cussing in front of the baby, I think, nonstop. But she gets on to Luke like, no! Not in front of the baby.
But it's just such a domestic Jessica. And if that's... Because I've wondered, where they'll take the Jessica-Luke relationship. And I just don't see Jessica making it all the way.
No,
it would have to be like season 23 before Jessica has a toddler and is lecturing Luke about his language.
Yeah, that would have to be... far down the road, far.
unless it was just like a completely accidental pregnancy and they made it really angsty and she decides to have the baby anyways, or even maybe, I could even see the way they take Jessica Jones, and I still don't think anything like this would happen without like them taking this a really long ways, but I could see them, like, she tries to get an abortion, but because of, like, Luke's unbreakable whatever.
It's an unbreakable baby.
It's like unbreakable sperm.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And then, like, Jessica has added angst because she tried to get an abortion, but she couldn't. And now she has to carry this baby. And
the baby just, like, punches, like, the doctor, like, Jessica Jones style. Like, the baby's like... But I have read some different things where Luke and Jessica are in the Avengers or the New Avengers, and Jessica is pretty angsty with the baby. Like, it's not an easy thing. It's not all domestic Jessica.
Oh, good. So, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. One day I'll read that stuff.
Yeah. Like, it's trying to, like, I'm home with this baby all day kind of, stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like the Jessica I know and love.
Yeah, so, yeah. But did you get to the part in Alias number 3 where she's, like, kind of, like, fucking around with Matt a little bit?
Not yet. No. I'm still... So, I got maybe 3 or 4 issues into Alias number 3. And okay. I have to say, I like it. So, Alias Volume 2, just... I didn't like as much as I'm liking Alias Volume 3. Because 3, it's like she's back in Hell's Kitchen. Or not even Hell's Kitchen. She's back in New York. She's interacting with other people. Jonah Jameson of the Daily Bugle, who, if you've only watched the Netflix shows, they didn't have Jonah Jameson. But he's Ben York's boss in the comics. Right. You know, he's like fucking with her and she's fucking with him. And she's still in her relationship with Scott Lang at the time.
Ant-Man, which is kind of weird because to me that's not the Ant-Man we know and love.
No, but I'm having fun imagining the MCU Scott Lang, like Paul Rudd. Like, I think they would be a great couple.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be cool?
I mean, I would love to see. I mean, it's not at all. I mean, there's nothing in the comics that makes me want to see it. But when I think about, like, Jessica Jones from the MCU, and then you think about Scott Lang from the Ant-Man movies.
So much fun.
I think they would be fantastic together.
So much snark together. The snarkiest couple ever.
And I mean, and maybe it wouldn't be good. Maybe it would just be too much snark. But I think she would, like, shut him up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And
definitely.
I think, like, I just, now that I've seen it, I can't unsee it.
You can't. You can't unimagine it. I know.
Yeah. You know, in the comics, it's just like, here's a man. He exists. They're having a relationship. There's nothing about it that's like, oh, they're perfect for each other. You know, he's supportive. Whatever. And I'm sure, like, you know where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
I will make it through it.
You will.
I got onto the Power Man Iron Fist. Like, I downloaded it, and
I know. Well, I also like this Alias is also taking place, because we got a hint of it in Alias number 2. This is going on at the same time everybody's trying to out Matt Murdock as Daredevil.
Right.
So, yeah. So Matt's going through some shit, and Jessica and Luke are both having to kind of like be his bodyguards right now. So that's... Yeah.
And so I'm excited to see more of that. I know there's more of that coming.
So there's a little bit of Matt Murdock in this book, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's always fun.
Yes.
Because it was fun reading Daredevil to have Luke and Jessica come in.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, I love the... Well, I mean, we've talked about it before. That's why I love the MCU. Like, everybody's sort of popping up and interacting, and, you know, they all live in the same world. So I love that in the comics as well, reading the same era where...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got Luke and Jessica popping up in Matt's world, as they will.
Yes, they have to, because this goes to how many, you know, some of the things they can play with in Daredevil season whatever, you know, up to like season 10. Because like last week, I don't know if you know this, I went ahead and I wrote the next 3 seasons of Daredevil.
Oh.
So that's done. Yes, yes. So that's done. I won't share it here because spoilers, but, you know, it's done. Netflix, yeah. Marvel, they don't even have to worry about it. Yes.
I mean, can you give us any sort of teasers on... everybody's speculating that it's going to be, like, Born Again.
I just think that has to come a little later. Oh, yes, Born Again is in the next 3 seasons. Okay. Like, let's just say Bullseye,
mm-hmm.
Mila, mm-hmm. Devil in Cell Block D... Born again. Mm. That's, yeah.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Shelby, you wrote the next 3 seasons.
Yeah, it's done.
I proposed, on the MCU Exchange, they were doing a feature on potential showrunners for Cloak and Dagger, which is a new show.
And evidently on Freeform?
On Freeform. And they haven't announced the showrunner. And I just went ahead and put my name out there.
In case
they wanted somebody completely incompetent.
Well, or, fresh and enthusiastic.
Yes.
Like, just, yeah.
Yeah, so I put my name out there as a showrunner, you know. Freeform, ABC, if y'all want to call me up. I can start next week. I could start this week. I could start tomorrow.
I mean, why not?
I mean, let's face it. If you want me, I should probably start as soon as possible and figure out what the hell I'm doing. So, just give me a call. Give me a call, and then I'll spend the rest of the day reading Cloak and Dagger, because I kind of know what it's about, but I imagine you'd like a showrunner that's read the comics.
Well, you don't want to read too much.
True. I mean, I found that the Wikipedia synopsis is probably a good place.
Yeah, you don't want to read too much. I mean, you want to bring your own cloak and dagger, like, right, to the screen.
Right. Yeah. I have some ideas. ABC.
See? Call me. I don't know why Marvel's not. I mean, I've got my phone right here. I don't know why it's not ringing.
I mean, we haven't uploaded the podcast yet, so.
Oh, that's true. They're not listening live.
It's not live, but.
I think I put it out there on Twitter, though. I put it out there on Twitter that I went ahead and wrote these three seasons.
Oh, okay.
And I can't take all the credit. I'm sorry. Me and my friend Brittany wrote all three seasons in like an hour.
And so. That might have been the couple of days that I disappeared off of consciousness this week. So yeah. I might have missed some of your tweets.
Yeah. But. Well, I just threw it out there. Like I said, I don't want to give away too much. I mean, but I do really think Bullseye has to come next. I'll just say that. Bullseye's got to come next.
Well, I don't feel that we can speculate anything on season three until we see what they do in the Defenders.
Defenders, bitches!
Because the Defenders, I mean, where they left Matt... Here we go. You know, we've jumped straight to Daryl Double speculation.
That's my favorite thing.
Where they left Matt at the end of season two... Shit, man, they could go straight to Shadowland.
They can go.
The Defenders could come in his life because he has gone batshit, ruler of the underworld.
They could.
Needs an intervention.
Shadowland. When Matt declares himself the fucking kingpin of Hell's Kitchen. You know, there's just so many places to go because we don't know if Karen's going to be like, oh, you're Daredevil. Yay! Or, oh, you're Daredevil, you fucker, and punches him and, like, leaves. Yeah. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
What we're going to get. You know? He's kind of isolated himself from everybody, so.
Yeah. I wish, like, Marco would just call us up and let us know so that we could stop speculating.
Yeah, like, seriously, Marco, I don't understand.
Marco. We're here.
You know, does he throw himself just straight, like, just Daredevilin? Is that what we get now? Just Daredevilin in the Defenders? And no, just Murdoch in the Defenders? You know?
And if so, how does he pay his bills?
Yeah, I... See, I don't know.
Does he leave money?
And is he going to go kind of like Danny Rand and just blow through it? I mean, what is he going to do? Because to me, you always still have to have the lawyer, Matt Murdock. You still have to have Matt Murdock. It's not Daredevil without Matt Murdock.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, about that. You know?
Exactly.
I've got to have my lawyer, Matt Murdock.
Exactly. Which brings us to, that's a nice segue into.
Oh, cool. What are we segueing into?
Number 8, the Daredevil number 8. So the current run.
Yes.
By Sewell and Garney.
Yes.
Daredevil number 8, where, you know, who the fuck is this guy and why is he wherever he is playing cards with these people and.
Yeah. And why is he like. Using this weird name.
Yes.
My name is Laurent Levasseur.
And, like, he's just there to meet people, but he, you know, scams his way through winning $1 million card competition and mentally fighting this guy.
Yeah. What was Apex? Apex?
Yes.
Yeah. All because of something Black Cat stole. Which kind of takes me back to the Wade run. Wasn't Black Cat involved in stealing, like, the Omega Drive or something way back in the 2011 Wade Rivera run?
I don't remember.
Okay, yeah, I think there was something Black Cat. But, yeah. So, yeah, he's playing cards. He's apparently, like, a fucking Texas Hold'em, like, fucking, I don't know, card shark or some shit. Yeah, it was cool though. There were things that were cool. It was cool.
There were things that were cool. Yeah.
But
it just.
But why?
Yeah. It's the overall arc. You know, like there's been good moments in the series,
because,
but I still the individual arcs. I mean, The arcs are
because
too
look,
short.
Look. I also okay. Let me tell you. I also was writing last week when I was writing the next three seasons of Daredevil. Uh-huh. I was writing all the really like weird shit I would like to see Matt do. So anytime I have Matt Murdock doing things that you know we would consider like a blind person not you know like being a Texas Hold'em fucking champ. You know like really. So anytime Matt does these things, that's cool to me. Whether it's in a comic or on the screen, because I'm like, oh yeah, I want to see Matt like playing darts. I want to see him shooting basketball. Just all, this whole list of things. So it's cool, but you got, but why?
Right. And this feels like, I mean, the whole Texas Hold'em thing was just like, Soul wanted to write him playing a game of cards.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't even think it was the game of cards. I think he wanted to do the mental battle. So
right. So yes, it was solely about the mental battle. Yeah, this guy. This, yeah. I want to call him Ajax so bad, but anyway, Apex.
Francis.
Francis.
There is no Ajax.
Have you seen this man? No, Apex. I haven't seen anyone, fucker. No. So, yeah, so it was all about the mental battle, which was cool. There were also cool moments in the battles. There always are in this run. The battles are cool to me.
Yeah, and it was an interesting idea that he would have to, like, mentally fight off. So for those who haven't read it and that don't mind being spoiled, because why the hell are you listening? I mean, we appreciate you listening. We seem to have a devoted, like, 20 listeners, and we appreciate all of you. But he's doing this, so he's basically playing cards by just listening to tell when people are bluffing or whatnot.
Yeah, to their heartbeat, to, yeah.
And he's bluffing them by just raising the ante every single time, no matter what cards he has, because he doesn't know what cards he has, which...
No clue.
Anyways.
It's been so long since I really, like, watched World Series of Poker and Texas Hold'em that... Yeah, I don't... Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm fairly certain that just putting all in on every round isn't how you would win it, even if you could tell people's heartbeats and stuff. But...
Right, or listening to their little tails and ticks and that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's more to it than that. It's been a long time since I've really played poker, but I...
At least the sunglasses, though, play. And he can totally walk up and nobody thinks anything about it in a Texas Hold'em tournament.
So what if his sunglasses, I mean, like in the TV show, his sunglasses are pretty reflective.
Yeah.
Which you don't want to do when you're playing poker. And I'm not so sure that Matt thought through that.
No.
I mean, like, would he remember that his sunglasses are reflective? Would he even know?
No.
Yeah, I think that would be funny. That would be hilarious. Like, that's the type of shit I want to see in a comic book where he's like... I'm going to go and just bluff my way through this shit. And then, like, after a few hands, realizes that the guys can totally see what his cards are.
Right. He should have to show up with, like, no fucking glasses. And then his whole play is to not make eye contact with anybody the whole time.
Right. Right. Marvel, call us. We have comic ideas.
So see, I'm always all in for that kind of shit. I am. Yeah. Because I like to see it on the page. I like to, but I, you know.
But, like, the overall arcs, like, I feel like we're getting, like, three-issue arcs, which I feel like when I've read the older comics, the overall arcs went a little bit longer. Or that there was an emotional arc that we're following, and, you know, maybe you get a bad guy for three books. And that's a subplot, but I feel like it's just like, okay, off to fight this baddie, and...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in typical Matt fashion, the poker tournament, like, he goes in the hole to go over to play this tournament, wins the $1 million, which he really can't do anything with, and wins the fight against Apex, and pretty much ends up with nothing. Oh, except Spider-Man shows up then. Spoiler! Oh. And then there's Spider-Man.
Yeah. And then there's Spider-Man. Why not?
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm still waiting for something more with this run. I'm still waiting. Now, I did read... Have you read Daredevil Punisher yet? Any of it? The new Daredevil
Punisher? Have you sent me codes for that?
I can't send you codes because they come out digitally first.
Oh.
Yeah, and then they come out, like, issue number 2 just came out, last week. Like, they're releasing the paper copies now. So, yeah, they don't come with a digital code. I think the digital copies are cheaper than the, like, $4 paper issues. But issue number two is really good, and I don't know. I'm getting more out of that than I am just the Daredevil run. So, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, but yeah, he in issue number two, he kind of writes Daredevil like blind as fuck in a fight, which is awesome. You want to see more of that. You want to see more of Matt getting disoriented in a fight or getting hit on the fucking head and kind of flailing around. They actually make fun of him because he's just flailing around. They're like, what the fuck is he doing? Yeah, because he's all fucked up.
Right.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and he stays fucked up for a while. It's not like fucked up for seconds. It's kind of throughout. And so that's good. I like that.
Yeah. I was just looking up. I was trying to look up when the next Daredevil comes out.
Yeah, when is it? Because we kind of got like two issues last month, didn't we? Sort of.
Yeah, and it's weird. I'm on like the Marvel site and they're showing this. They're showing this, you know, Daredevil series.
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing that, like, they have the covers, you know, the variants. And they have number 8, and then they have number 10 and number 11.
Yeah, and 11, like, already supposed to come out in, like, September, October?
I have no idea, but where's number 9?
Oh, no.
Where's number 9? Fuck you, comic books. You're complicated.
It's really hard.
Why can't I just find out when the next comic is coming out?
And then I lose track of what I've pre-ordered, which I can't. I don't have to pre-order this because I do have the Marvel subscription to this series, so I don't have to. But I do like to know when it's coming.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a trick to all of it. I'm sure there is. I just don't know it yet.
I just show up at my comic book store.
It's not this week. I do know that. It's not this Wednesday.
Yeah.
So maybe it's next week?
Maybe it's never. Maybe there's no number 9. That's where I'm...
No number 9. I'm just going to skip number 9. 9's a bad number.
Why are they showing me number 10 and number 11 and no number 9?
Because isn't 11 the one with the Maleev variant that's coming out that I like will have to have?
I think it's
that. but this issue... Right, isn't it supposed to be Matt and a serial killer going at it?
I have no idea.
I think so.
But isn't it supposed to explain, oh my god, do we have to go read Spider-Man to understand where the next time
Oh,
we'll
I don't know. It didn't say continues on like Spider-Man volume 42 issue.
God damn, Marvel. God damn.
Internal bleeding. God damn. Yeah, there's something. It's supposed to be something about a serial killer and a dude like making statues, like going all Hannibal, like with his victims and shit. I think because I've seen the cover, or maybe that goes to number. Oh fuck, I don't know. Sorry, people. No.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, this goes to the we don't know what we're doing, but at some point there'll be another Daredevil comic somewhere. I mean,
and we'll talk about it. And I don't know. Did you use the code that I have for Daredevil number 8? Because we can put that up if anybody wants to read it. If they can read the code.
I did it. I bought my own copy.
Okay.
So
yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
We'll put a code up.
We'll put that up before I upload this podcast.
Yes.
So that somebody that doesn't want to be spoiled can use it before.
But I want more thoughts on this. I want people to like. You know, give us their thoughts on this run. What do they love about it? What, you know, are we missing something? Are we just not reading it correctly?
Oh dear God, explain it to us. I mean, and I know there's like releases that say what all's coming out in like 3 months, but like, where do I just go to find out? Like, oh, I forgot what those said. When the hell do I get number 9?
Because I know people. There are a lot of people who give Wade shit for the direction he took Daredevil in.
And I feel like the hired Sewell just to make Wade look good.
it's just different, but I have never read, I don't think I've read anything else that he's done, so I can't, whereas I think I have, I've read some more of Wade's stuff. I, you know, I kind of like the Wade run. So maybe maybe the longer this goes on, I'll fall in love with this one too. It could happen. I remember when I started the Wade run, it was just different. It was hard to kind of switch gears. But Wade did some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Did some really cool stuff. He didn't mind fucking with Matt, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Like, hard. So, yeah, please give us our thoughts. Your thoughts. I mean, our thoughts. Give us our thoughts.
Give us our thoughts. Tell us what to think.
Get in my head, Apex, Ajax.
Tell us what to think.
I want to fight a mental battle with you in the boxing ring. With my boxing gloves.
Right. So that you can't tell the secrets we're hiding.
Right? So, yeah. So that's Daredevil. What would you rate it on a scale of like 1 to 10? Like a 6.5? 7? Like
number 8?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't dig it. It would get like a 5.
Yeah, it's between a 6 and a 7 for me.
For me, so like I enjoy when they like point out his blind stuff and, you know, tweak on that. To me, it was more frustrating because they almost gave us one of, you know, they tried to give us one of those storylines.
Yeah, and it didn't.
And I just didn't enjoy it. And I'm like, "Oh my God, you just, you know, it's like giving me a plate of cheese fries and then making it that liquidy nacho cheese." So it's so close to something I really love, but it's actually disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which maybe, I mean, not, you know, I'm not saying this issue is disgusting, but I'm saying the fact that it was so close to being something that I really love, but
well, it's kind
actually
of like,
not being good, makes it even worse for me.
It was kind of like the Daredevil movie. It had all the things you thought you would love it.
Right.
But then you just wanted to forget it. Like ever happened, ever. And you really kind of can because nothing really happened.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like I was, when we were getting ready to podcast, I was like, what even happened in that issue? And
Look, Matt played cards. He won. He fought a mental battle. He made the guy's nose bleed. And he met up with Spidey.
Okay.
That was it. He didn't even get like any hot like sex with the girl or anything.
Right. And he didn't even like, I mean, like he won $1 million and it wasn't even like he had rigged up a way to donate it to charity or something. He just couldn't collect it. And that's not the Matt Murdock I know. Like the Matt Murdock I know would not have gone home with $1 million.
No.
But he would have found a way for it to benefit somebody that needed it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Which brings me back to the Wade run for just a second. Do you remember when he took the little bus trip with all the blind kids?
Sort of. Yeah.
Yeah, but just that. Like, yeah, that Matt. There's got to be some of that Matt, like, in there.
Yeah. That's...
You know?
Well, and that, yeah. You know, so it's just like, oh, I can't keep the money. Like... Okay, that's cool, but...
And I know nobody here knows he's fucking Matt Murdock, I know, in this world. But still, Daredevil could find a way to do that.
Right. Daredevil could take that money. I mean, even if... He could donate it to anything. I mean, and it wouldn't even be Daredevil donating. It would be whatever Sir Villa... whatever fake name he took.
Why wouldn't you just find a way to get it to, like, Blindspot? He's the one that's got no fucking job right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
And that's just where, like, I feel like they're hitting on all these things that are so close and they're just not doing it for me. Which, that little, I mean, because you sent me that thread on Man Without Fear.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like a lot of people are feeling this. And.
Yeah. Yeah. There are things that excite me. I mean, I do. Appreciate most of the art and the coloring and things like that, but and what they're sort of trying to do, but you've got to get me there. And we're on issue number 9. Come on, get me there. It's like constant in blue balls.
Yeah,
you know,
Which your signal went out a little bit as you said blue balls. That blue wasn't us trying to
like censor.
I'm like, oh my god! Like we have a ghost that's censoring
constant, burp, burp.
Constant burp, burp, bar.
That's what this series has given me: constant fucking blue balls. Right. But that's okay. Did you read? Did you read cap number two?
I did not.
Okay.
Because when I went to, I mean, I went and I entered it, so I have it like pulled up to read.
That's cool.
But
Hail Hydra.
Yeah.
We won't talk. We won't discuss that. Then we'll wait.
Yeah,
we'll...
I'll put that on next week's reading list. So what I'm doing, you guys? I'm trying. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I'm trying to, when I upload the show notes, put, like, the reading list for future episodes. And I do a link to the... I try, if I can, I pull them up as a link to Amazon in case you need to order them or want to order them. If you happen to follow that link, we get a tiny little kickback.
Yay!
Tiny little bit. But, you know, if nobody's getting a kickback on your Amazon links anyways, they should. Because Amazon will pay a commission on, like, all purchases.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You can, anytime you're shopping for anything, you can go follow our little reading list links and get
there. Yes, order all the things from Amazon.
Yeah.
Because we are going to New York Comic Con.
I just looked over my roommate's dog, like, when I gasped. I looked over and he was just looking at me all intently. Like, really?
Are you having a nervous breakdown?
We're going to Comic-Con?
We're going. Which, we sort of have to wait till we have passes in hand till I feel like it's really happening. Because anybody who tried this week to get tickets.
Props to you guys.
I mean, first of all, let me just say, I think New York Comic Con probably didn't make any new friends with the way they handled the ticket buying shit.
They made friends with me. I thought it was straightforward and easy.
No, it was. And I don't have problems with the hoops they make you jump through because I know it's supposed to try to cut down on scalpers. I realize this. I just think sometimes they got these they just get caught up in their own asshole a little bit because it really does nothing. They're making you jump through these hoops, get fan verified for really no reason at all.
No, I think it was great. I mean, I think it created a clear system. I think it could have been better communication.
Limited the. I don't even have problems with the communication, like, part of it. It's just when you send me what's supposed to be my own original, like, my own specific link, and it takes me to the same page that I tried to get through, like, last year. I'm in the same queue I was last year. If I manage to get through, I don't have to assign tickets until 2 weeks later. And then you're not really gonna make me verify who I am. Not really. I can see where people were frustrated. I can see that. Not because, I mean, look,
so they were very unclear. I mean, they were very clear. One, I mean,
about having
they were very, very clear that everybody had to be fan verified.
Yes,
anybody that is whining about that is just a whiner. If you followed anything New York Comic Con related, you had to know that in order to have a ticket, you had to be fan verified.
Had to be fan verified. No question.
I think they very poorly. I think it was very unclear how
many tickets you
how
buy.
You would go about buying tickets so that, like, you and I, because you and I wanted the same tickets,
right?
And so, like, if I had gotten so basically, folks, what happened was Shelby and I both were sitting here right at noon. Or we're sitting at our respective computers right at noon. We both click through our link right at noon. I got through the queue first. I was able to buy two tickets. I assigned one to me, one to Shelby. We both have tickets to New York Comic Con. Mm-hmm. The ones we wanted. I think, you know, up until I got through the queue, it was unclear that we would be able to do that.
Oh. Yeah, totally. Because
I was completely confused. When I verified, it said, how many tickets will you want? And I was like, what do you mean? I can only buy one ticket per day, and I can only, you know, because they said about you can only buy one ticket per day.
Yeah, it was only clearer to me, that part of it, when they sent you the link, what you could do. It was clear to me then that I could buy up to 12 tickets, whatever, not multiple tickets assigned to me for the same day. It was clear to me that I could buy your pass, my pass, mm-hmm. That. I think a lot of people did get confused with that because there are some people who thought their link was only good one time for one ticket per day and only bought like a Sunday ticket.
Yeah.
And then their link was no good.
Right.
So there was confusion.
Yeah,
there.
And I'll give them that there's some confusion in that regard. But as far as me going and following, one, it's an in-demand thing. So you know you have to click on that link as soon as the clock hits noon.
Yes.
You know you do. And if you clicked in at 12:05, I mean, that sucks because I know not everybody can sit in front of their computer. I mean, there was a very likely chance I wouldn't be able to sit in front of a computer.
There were people that I read that sat there for two hours.
Yeah, I have a friend.
10 or 20 minutes before they finally got through. And then all they could get was like Thursday, Friday, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we have a friend that got through and she was able to buy an individual ticket for every day. But now it's costing her about twice as much because, like, the 4-day ticket was $115.
That's kind of what I think this situation sort of did. It's people hoarding tickets. That's what I think happens. They're hoarding the 4-day passes or the 3-day passes. And I do think if they would, all you have to do, look, this is all you have to do, New York Comic Con. This is it. All you have to do, when people get through, make them assign the ticket at the point of purchase to the name issued on somebody's driver's license. And it can only be used for that person. Period. Yeah. That's it. And I know it creates a lot of confusion when you get there. You don't mail passes. You have people pick up their pass. That would suck. I know. This is a huge deal. I know that would be a lot of people standing in line getting their passes. But that's what you have to do in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You show up with your driver's license and get your pass. And guess what? If Shelby can't go, then Shelby's just out her money. Shelby can't transfer that ticket to somebody else.
Well, and what I think is next year, I mean, if they do the same system next year, I will sign up to buying for, you know, whatever the max is of whatever the tickets are. And hell, I'll hoard them. I mean, because
if you can help somebody else.
Right. Like, I would have.
Get a 4-day pass.
You know, like I said, our friend that wasn't able to get the 4-day passes, I could have let her know as soon as I got as soon as I checked out and knew I had 4-day passes, I could have gotten up with her and she could have just assigned her name to these passes.
Yeah, fingers crossed that all works, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll wait and see if that
and
all
so
goes
we could have done that. So anyways, we're going to Comic-Con.
One more thing though, and I do think it is kind of shitty that New Yorkers do have to go through the same shit we do.
I do wish the New Yorkers had something that they could do.
I mean, even if they just did a pre-sale for New Yorkers, I mean, I do think it is shitty that New York people can have this shit going on in their backyard and not even be able to go.
Yeah. But, you know, they can invite it to the Marvel Unlimited events and stuff, too.
No, it's true that we'll never get invited to. It's
I'm just
true.
Kind of so but
Marvel. What are we in though? Marvel. What?
Shelby and I are in the Marvel Unlimited Plus,
which is where
we pay for like the whole year of Marvel Unlimited, and they send us some exclusive comics. We get and we get this like special membership where like supposedly we get invites to special things, and I know like New York Comic Con will probably have a special room or a special event or something for Plus probably. Members. But they also, like, the ones in New York get invited to, like, the Daredevil premiere.
By your zip code or some shit.
Jessica Jones, when they won the Peabody, they got invites to that. There are some cool things for people in the New York area. And I mean, there are things, I mean, if they gave me an invite to the Daredevil premiere, I would fly to New York to be there.
I would get there. I would do
it. I would find a way. And I realize Shelby and I are rare in that regard. And there are very few people that would.
Well, there are people that see, they make you no guarantees. They send you this email and they're like, look, this is what we're inviting you to, but it's really no fucking guarantee this shit will happen. So if we were to fly there, like, there's some people who would probably get there and then the event be canceled and burn the place down.
Yeah.
You know. Because they wouldn't read the, hey, we're not guaranteeing you shit. It's just an invite.
Yeah.
You know.
But still, I really wish. I mean, it really, like, chaps me that, like, they don't even invite me to the New York shit. Because.
Yeah, it seems
Well, and also, I'm in a position where, for work, it's possible that I would be in New York City. Or in the New York metro area. And even though my zip code on the billing is North Carolina, I could be there and.
Yeah, because
what I'll do. Like, if I land somewhere that I'm traveling for business near New York, I'm going to find a way to change my Marvel Plus zip code.
because right now, as it stands, I'm not getting invited to shit.
Maybe we'll get special invites for Dragon Con, because as it stands, we're both going to Dragon Con as well.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know, because I'm technically like 3 hours away from Atlanta. I don't even know if I'm considered close enough to even be in the Atlanta zip code. Maybe something cool happens in like Brunswick or Jacksonville. Shout out to Brunswick.
So when Marvel's doing stuff in...
In Valdosta.
When they're filming the bumfuck Egypt and decide not to go to Egypt itself. Call Shelby.
That's it. That's it.
Somebody DM'd me. So evidently, okay, so this is not comic related, but it's Shelby and I fandom related. Piper Perabo, who was Annie Walker in Covert Affairs. She's been in a few other things.
Coyote Ugly.
Yeah, Coyote Ugly. I was trying to think of what her big thing was.
She's got a new show out.
Well, so she has a new show.
Notorious.
Yeah, she has a new show, Notorious. And one of her fans emailed me because one of her co-stars on Notorious was tweeting about he gets to go back to Raleigh for filming.
Oh.
And it was just like, Raleigh, 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 yay, I'm going to Raleigh. And she knew I lived in the Raleigh metro area. I live in Durham, North Carolina, which is 15 minutes from Raleigh, North Carolina. And I was like, why the hell would the show be filming in Raleigh? North Carolina has a small film industry, but we don't have studios in Raleigh. The studios are either in the mountains or at the beach. There is absolutely nothing special about Raleigh. Like, fuck you, Hootie. Fuck you, whoever originally wrote that song. Like, if I die in Raleigh, fuck that. There's nothing special about Raleigh. There's nothing bad about Raleigh either.
It's right. Just,
it would be a depressing. Anyways. So, like, I went and I was Googling and I was like, what in the world? Like, Piper's going to be like, is there something special? They actually, like, parts of Iron Man 2 were actually filmed in Cary, North Carolina, which is basically Raleigh. You know, like, they used a movie theater parking lot to be a big empty parking lot or something. I don't know why they came to Raleigh for that, but anyways, that's right. The dog sitting here just whined about it, because I'm talking about Raleigh. I'm upsetting him. But anyways, I did lots of research because I got all excited still that she might be coming to my town because Piper's cool. And
yes,
it turns out this guy, he used to be in Castle, and Castle filmed at Raleigh Studios in Los Angeles. And Notorious is going to be filming at Raleigh Studios in Los Angeles. And I finally pieced all that together and it made so much more sense.
Different Raleigh.
Different. So, anyways.
I was gonna say, though, there's Outcast, Robert Kirkman's new show, is filmed in one of the Carolinas. Maybe South Carolina?
No, if it's filmed in the Carolina, it's probably filmed in Wilmington, which is where, in North Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina. That's where Under the Dome was filmed. Dawson's Creek is the one I always think of. That's yeah. where there's a new show featuring the girl from Downton Abbey, Michelle. I can't remember her last name.
Dockery.
Yeah, Michelle Dockery. There's a show, and all of a sudden,
no, it is filmed in South Carolina.
Oh wow! Yeah. But anyways, Wilmington, the show with Michelle Dockery, it co-stars Juan Diego Botto. Mm-hmm. Who I have had a crush on since I was 11. Mm-hmm. He is a Spanish actor that nobody has heard of, but I am his biggest fan, and it has taken everything in me not to just go to Wilmington and stalk him. But I think it would just be that it's like he's such an obscure actor, and to have just like, I don't know, like, just
but you never know when somebody's gonna blow the fuck up, right? You never
right,
know.
Right. And I mean, I'm just gonna say it right now. I am a fan of Juan Diego Botto, and I was like one of the first.
There you go. Yeah, because I don't know who he is.
Right.
No clue.
I've sent you pictures. I sent you pictures when I
forgot
right?
over. Yeah.
And the show is Good Behaviors. Or Good Behavior. Okay. And it'll be on like TNT or something. I don't know. I probably won't even get to see it because I don't have cable. But it's got Juan Diego Botto and Michelle Dockery, and he is just like Spanish heartthrob, dark hair, big brown eyes. Just
you should go check this out.
I thought they were done filming. I actually thought I had missed out, and then he was posting some new stuff from Wilmington. So I'm just not gonna do it. I don't know. I think I just wrote that one off.
Yay!
Yeah, I'll just write it off as what could have been, and never.
Yeah,
will
what if? Yeah, but yeah, I understand. You can't. Yeah, you can't just go all the time to everything. So,
and it's only 2 hours away. But the thing is, like, it's such an obscure show that there's not really information on where they're filming and everything.
Yeah, they could
and
be filming.
He's not. I mean, like, if I ran up to him on the street, it would be a crazy person running up on the street. It's not like Charlie, where he sees people on the street and he walks up to them expecting them to, you know, be fans. It just doesn't feel right. And, I mean, like, in the end, that's it. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I totally understand. Yeah, that would... You don't want to be weird.
Yeah, I mean, I am weird, so I just try to, like...
You know what? But you don't want it. The worst is to make other people feel weird, though.
Right, right, exactly. Like,
I don't want to make other people feel weird.
I don't know.
And yeah, they could be filming. You don't know if it's outdoors. They could be filming just inside someplace or.
Yeah. And I did. I mean, like, when I found out they were filming in North Carolina, all that, I sent him a little note on Twitter or something. I don't remember which social media, and was like, I'm a really big fan, and I'm in North Carolina. You know, welcome to my state. And there was, like, no reply at all or anything. So, like,
no.
I don't know.
Wait, he's just busy. He's busy. He's filming.
I mean, I think it was a Twitter. I think it was, like, a public Twitter. Yeah, it wasn't a DM. Yeah. It was just, like, a Twitter, like, hey, welcome to my state and all that. And it wasn't even, like, it didn't even get, like, one of the little likes or whatever, so.
You know, yeah, but Twitter's so weird now. Twitter's kind of gotten like Facebook. It's so weird and out of order and out of... If you don't have notifications turned on, then good luck. You'll never know anything that happens on Twitter.
Yeah.
So can we say yay because Preacher got renewed?
Yay!
Preacher!
I'm not caught up at all.
It's
for
okay.
some reason,
it's,
the streaming...
It's okay.
The streaming site I use, like, I tried to catch up. I sat down and I was like, I'm going to catch up on Preacher. And it let me watch one episode, but it didn't let me watch the most recent. So I'm two episodes behind.
Yeah.
But hopefully, I'll be at my parents' house this week and I have them save them for me.
Yes.
So hopefully I'll be able to catch up.
Preacher is, it's, I'm happy it got renewed for season two, but it's kind of like the new run of Daredevil. I want to be feeling more things from Preacher that I'm kind of like not getting yet. So we'll see. It's kind of, it's one show where I almost feel frustrated because I've read the comic. Usually, you know, when you read the comic, you're like, you can pick up on all these things and yay, I've read the comic and I've got one up on everybody else. Yay. But when this one, it's kind of like, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of waiting for things to happen and move along that I get slow burn shit. I do. I get the slow burn and this form of storytelling that we all want to do now. I get it. But you can't have every fucking little storyline, little thread be a slow burn. Everything can't be that. You got to reveal some shit to me. And yeah. Preacher's kind of struggling with that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you watch an episode and like, well, that didn't really lead me anywhere.
But I've been seeing like some stuff starting to show up on Tumblr, mm-hmm. of some scenes that I am really excited to watch. So I hope I'm not getting my hopes up too much, because I have seen some pretty stuff show up on Tumblr.
Yeah, there's some good shit. There's some good shit. The shit that's good is really good. And Joseph Gilgun, who plays Cassidy, is probably still the best part of the show.
Yeah, that's right now. It was Cassidy stuff. It was like Cassidy and
Tulip.
No.
Tulip?
No.
Cassidy and Jesse? Cassidy and Jesse?
Cassidy and Jesse. Naked-ish. It was.
Okay.
Which, I mean, you know, that's what I've just saw, like, you know.
Yeah, so I'm happy. I am happy because I didn't want this show to go down as, like, the biggest fucking comic book adaptation failure ever.
Right.
Because there's just so much there to work with, and the comic is so fucking great that, you know, it's just, you don't see how this show could fail. But now maybe that Game of Thrones is over, and there is a new Preacher this week. I did not know with the 4th of July weekend if they would run a new episode of Preacher tonight.
Oh, there is a new one tonight?
There is a new one tonight. There is this Walking Dead marathon is also on this week. I think they're doing the season one marathon this weekend.
There's also an Outlander marathon.
Oh! Yeah,
for everybody
Outlander.
That has stars. I mean, you have to have stars to watch the Outlander marathon. But you can still get stars free trial through Amazon. You can use any of those little links on our website. You can go to Amazon. If you have Prime, you can get your 1 month trial of stars. And you can watch Outlander. And then you can know what Rhiannon's talking about. Because
I should so do that. If my internet was more reliable and I knew that in 30 days I could get caught up and it wouldn't take me like 3 days to watch one episode.
It'll only be like 29 episodes.
I know, but that means I have to watch like one episode a day.
Yeah. Well, seriously, you can skip some of the season one episodes. I can go through and look and tell you.
You know I don't do that because I like to punish myself and watch watch all of it. But you know what? But sometimes with binging, it doesn't stand out that they're like skip episodes. When you binge, it just works better. So
there is just this like season one episode of Outlander that I mean I've read all the books, but book one is my least favorite, so I've never gone back and reread it. And I read it in 2000. Mm-hmm. But I watched it with a friend that like really loved the early books, and I'm watching this episode. We were watching it live the first time. I happened to be staying with her, and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Did this happen in the books? And she was like, no, it didn't. I have no clue. Because I mean, there is so much stuff in season one where I'm like, what the fuck is this? Did this happen in the books? And she's like, yeah, it's like a big part of the books.
I read the wrong book. I didn't read the book.
She's like, this is a major character that like keeps coming up through season two. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I've been watching season two with my mom, and she's like, who the hell is this? And I'm like, oh, that's the major character that we were introduced to last season.
That we didn't think, you know, mattered for fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now do we want to go into Game of Thrones?
Yeah, let's wrap it up with Game of Thrones, because if you're not wanting to be spoiled on Game of Thrones because you didn't watch the season finale for 2 weeks,
yeah, just you turn it off now.
You can turn it off. You can spend this extra time writing us up an iTunes review.
Yes.
Or just sending us love letters.
Our emails, they're telling us to shut the fuck up, that you love the new Daredevil run.
Yeah,
whatever.
I should check our email too. Hold on. Before we head on to Game of Thrones, let me just check that we don't have an email box full of love letters. Which, like I said, the email, okay, we don't. Email's the least reliable way to get a hold of us, but I did send our email to Charlie Cox, so I have to check it every now and then. Twitter, you can, you know, if you don't want to listen to Game of Thrones, you can go to Twitter and just send us tweets, which some of you have been doing. You guys are fabulous. We love all of you.
We love it. We love it so much.
It's been more than one person.
Yay! Spread the word. Spread the word.
We're super ladies on Twitter. Super ladies with a T.
With a T. Super late.
You super ladies. So anyways, all right, Game of Thrones. Season finale.
Probably goes down as one of the most fucking satisfying season finales ever in the history of, like, fucking ever.
So I don't know that I've very clearly watched the episode yet. I watched it once on my cousin's iPad at the beach. We were at the beach with five little girls. We locked three of them in the bedroom. And we locked two of them out on the balcony, and none of them were allowed to come in the room. We poured ourselves a glass of wine, and we set out a cheese plate.
Yes, that sounds perfect.
And we watched it on her iPad. But we couldn't close the curtains all the way, so it was dark enough to really see the iPad, because then we wouldn't be able to see the girls we locked out on the balcony, and our luck would be one of them would jump
off. I get it. Yeah, responsibility.
Yeah, and then my mom was here this week a little bit, and I sort of needed a nap, so I turned it on for her because she hadn't watched it yet, and we kind of wanted to talk about it, but I totally fell asleep.
No, that's understandable.
And, yeah, I had just euthanized my dog, so I watched Game of Thrones.
Well, I mean, you know.
And, like, I could finally sleep, so I passed out. And, so I haven't watched it completely, totally, clearly, but I totally, like, have watched it.
Rest in peace, baby Iron Fin.
Yeah.
But was that not, see, last week I thought the first, like, 10-15 minutes with Daenerys riding the dragons was, like, the best fucking opening 15-20 minutes of a show ever. And I don't know. This kind of tops it for me. Down to the music being played. Cersei standing there in that fucking dress that is so on point. Her outfit is so on point. Drinking her wine, looking out the window. The music's playing. You're like, no, what the fuck is really going on? Little kids are running around the castle and beneath the castle. The trial started. You have baby Iron Fin confessing all his sins. God bless him. They cut off all his curls. That broke my heart. That just broke my heart.
And I didn't see why it was so... I mean, so do those weird mutilated guys with the whatever religious monkey type people, they're not allowed to have hair?
They're not allowed to have what?
They're not allowed to have cute little curls.
I guess not. I guess that's part of, like, their vanity or some shit is to, you know, strip down their hair and their clothes and So that was, I don't know. See, and I guess we'll never know if Margaery really ever had a huge big plan or if this just was her plan. If her plan was to get Loras just out of the dungeons, that if that was it, this was as far as Margaery's plan went.
And she hinted that she had some sort of agreement with.
Yeah, with Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm.
That there was, like, an agreement that he wasn't supposed to mutilate him, but he mutilated him.
He mutilated the fuck out of him. Which, Loras, look, and a lot of people were kind of upset that they did that to the character. They made him get up there and confess his sins, you know, instead of you know, going out going, you know, I'm Loras and I fucking love Renly and this is who I am. But Loras was beat down at that point and... He didn't really care. They cut his hair. He really didn't care that he's mutilated. He's done. He's broken.
And Finn, actually, there was an interview this week where he said that like, you know, he very much considered what his character was going through. And he was saying, you know, like in his mind, this guy has spent a year in a dungeon being beat down. Like, he was not one to, like, rise up and be like, fuck all y'all.
Well, he wasn't really that before. He was...
Right. And that's what, you know, there wasn't, like, an inner warrior within him ever. There was a confident, I mean, Loras was a good, confident person that was like, "This, I am who I am, and I'm going to make no apologies."
But he's a lover, not a fighter. Not really. You know? Yeah.
He's very much a lover.
He's a knight of flowers, for fuck's sake. You know?
Which I finally understood. Finally, my cousin explained to me why he was the knight of flowers.
Yeah. Highgarden.
I don't know any of this.
So we have that. We have Loras' confession. We have Margaery going, look here, Bernie Sanders. There is some shit going down. Cersei is not here. Tommen is not here. Which, by the way, the mountain has come and, like, whisked Tommen away. Because you're scared for a second. You don't know if the mountain showed up to, like, kill Tommen, really? You don't know what Cersei's got planned.
Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, I thought the king was totally going to bite it. So I mean, everybody knew Loras was going to bite it.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought the king was going to bite it. I thought Margaery was going to come out on top.
So you're watching these little kids run around. The first one they go get is Grand Maester Pycelle. They get him. You know, he of course is laid up with a girl, like he always is, and drag him down there. And the little kids, those creepy little kids, just stab the fuck out of him, the ever loving like fuck out of Pycelle. Rest in peace, Pycelle. It takes Margaery telling Bernie Sanders that, like, look. No, something's up. She has no intention of showing up here. So they send Cousin Lancel after her. Mm-hmm. And if you guys remember, Cousin Lancel's the one who kind of told on Cersei as far as her part in Robert's death and all that. So Lancel goes out. His job is to bring Cersei back. Meanwhile, we see that Tommen's safe in his little room. We're still like, what the fuck is Cersei's plan? My sister called this many episodes ago. She's like, Cersei's gonna blow the fuck out of King's Landing. She's gonna blow it up. I'm like, okay, but still waiting to see what the hell. Get Lancel down there. A little creepy kid like runs the fuck up and guts him. Gut shot right, you know, in the side. Lancel's like, oh shit. And meanwhile, there's all these candles burning around, and that's when you see it, all the fucking wildfire. Oh shit. And there's a few minutes where the creepy music is playing and Lancel's like crawling, trying to get to the wildfire, trying to get over there to blow the fucking candle out. Margaery still like trying to get everybody out. And they kind of trap her there. They don't even allow her to leave.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit. And he gets over there to the candle and he's trying to blow it out, and then everything just turns green. And everybody is just obliterated. And Cersei, in typical Cersei fashion, is watching it from the window with her goblet of wine.
Yeah. Just like my cousin and I were watching her watch it with the
So bye-bye all the little birdies. Bye-bye all the Tyrells, except Grandmama Tyrell.
Yeah.
Bye-bye Lancel. Bye-bye Bernie Sanders. Bye-bye Pycelle. So... That was 20 minutes of fucking awesome. Because like I said, it was a build up that I really didn't know how it was gonna go down. Was anybody gonna escape? What, you know, is everybody gonna get fucking burned up? Is this all of Cersei's plan? What the hell? And then poor Tommen. I mean, he kind of just, he's had enough and...
Yeah. Well, and I mean, yeah, what an awful thing to have to live with.
Yeah. Yeah, because number one, he really did love Margaery. He was so young and sweet, and he was trying to do the right thing, and it's just too much on him. And Cersei, look, according to the prophecy, she knew her kids are all lost to her anyway. So she did as best she could to protect him, but he takes the crown off and jumps out the window after he learns of Margaery's death. So that was sad. That's sad, but he was too good to be king. The little kid was just too good. Too fucking good.
And I'm so excited because now that Cersei is the queen, which...
Cersei is the fucking queen. Cersei got the scepter. That was another great scene.
But, like, now, one, I don't know how legally all of that worked. You know, it seems like she shouldn't be next in line for the throne, but
I don't know if it's just one of those things where she's just staked claim to it. She's technically like a usurper, you know what I mean? She's just,
but now that she's queen, that means she can't survive.
That means what? She can't survive.
She can't survive.
Well, that's what leads me to when Jamie walks in at the end, because you know Jamie's been out trying to Jamie's been out securing River Run for the Freys, and he's kind of over that whole shit. You know, he runs back up and he sees the place on fucking fire, and you know, for a minute there, I don't think he knew anything about Cersei's plan at all.
No.
And he shows up and his face is kind of unreadable. You don't know if it's disgust, fear, a little smirk of it's just us now. What the fuck have you done? It's a weird kind of no expression.
But did he know if Cersei was inside or not?
He didn't know until, I don't think he knew what happened at all until he got in there and she's sitting on the throne.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to me. I don't know who will have to take Cersei out, but part of me thinks it might end up being Jaime that has to take down Cersei. Yeah.
I thought it would be Dany.
Could be. I don't know who. Well, let's go to Dany now. Who the fuck is going to stop her?
Right. I mean, Cersei is going to get eaten by a dragon.
I mean, she's got three dragons. She has the support, because if anybody who doesn't know, Varys, who went to try to get more support, Varys showed up in Dorne, and he now has Dorne on her side and the Tyrells, because Grandmama Tyrell was there talking to the Sand Snakes. So there, all the boats. She's got the Greyjoys, the Tyrells, Dorne, the Unsullied, the Dothraki. Who's going to stop her?
Yeah.
Oh, and when she made Tyrion Hand of the King, that was perfect too.
Oh, I know.
That was perfect. It was kind of a weird scene though. I didn't know if we were supposed to be, is there supposed to be some like romantic, like little weird feelings going on there? There was some weird energy in that scene for me. Who's Dany going to marry?
Yeah.
Because, you know, she sent the hot Danish guy. She just left him behind.
Okay, but let's move to
John?
Let's move to John. Now, I saw there was a Game of Thrones relationship graphic that came out. How far removed are John and Dany? I mean, I realize that this is a show that has brothers and sisters giving birth to kings. But could John and Dany end up together?
Yes, that is also a possibility.
Are they cousins?
Totally. No, they would be half brother and sister.
Oh.
I mean, no, not half brother, sister, uncle. I'm sorry, Rhaegar and Dany are, it gets confusing for me. Rhaegar, he's Rhaegar's son. That also came out in this episode.
Yeah.
L plus R equals J. So we finally got to see how baby Jon Snow came. Wee, John, baby Jon Snow. Daenerys would be Jon's aunt.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So totally possible to get married in this incestuous world. And I mean, I think they're both good for each other. Like, that would be a kingdom that
would be fucking unstoppable. Yeah. But did you notice at the end though that, you know, when everybody was going King of the North, he's the White Wolf, yay, which can we shout out to the little girl who plays Lyanna Mormont?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
She is the best. Littlefinger is over there being his creepy, sneaky, slimy Littlefinger smirking self in the corner, looking at Sansa like, I see. Told you this was what was going to happen. They've totally skipped over you and made him the king. They've made the bastard the king. So I don't know what he's going to, I don't know what, how that will play out. I had to laugh at him when he was talking to Sansa about seeing himself on the Iron Throne. That's always funny. Littlefinger's funny to me. Yeah. But who knows? Littlefinger could be the last one standing.
Ah.
you can't count out Littlefinger ever.
I think ever. I do. I think I just have a mental like block that Littlefinger just, you know, I just forget about him.
Yeah, I want Sansa to gut him. That's what I want. I want her to just, ugh.
Well, and won't she? So he, I don't remember like the history of him with Arya. Didn't he have some role in fucking over Arya? Somewhere in the line? Or was
I
it
don't,
only Sansa?
I don't remember. You know, just right now what sticks out, I guess, because it's so new and fresh, is that he just fucking left her with the Boltons. That's really all that can, you know.
But there was, I mean, like, back in the early, early days, back even maybe when Arya was trying to get out of Westeros. I mean, I'm just, because I'm always just looking for people to Arya to pop up and murder.
Oh, can we talk about that, too? Can we talk about that scene?
Sure.
Arya. Can we talk about that? Arya popping up?
Yes.
Because I did not, and I feel so dumb for not seeing that coming. I did not fucking see that.
So she, remind me, because I'm kind of, she was in Westeros, right?
She was sailing for Westeros when we last saw her. That's, you know, she had, my name is Arya Stark of Winterfell and I'm going home. She had bought passage on a boat back to Westeros. That's the last we pretty much saw of her. And, you know, she was just telling Jacken, and Jacken was kind of like smirking, like, okay, now you know who the fuck you are. You had to become nobody before you remembered who you truly are. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So Jamie again, Jamie and Bronze over there, they've just secured River Run for the Freys. So they're having this big, like, fucking get together with Walder Frey. And you keep seeing this girl, this serving girl, they keep cutting to her, making eyes at Jamie. That's what Bronn keeps joking. Ah, she wants you. She wants your gold fingers up her, you know what. And then later on, when it's empty, the room is empty, and Walder's looking for his sons, and this girl's like, "Oh no, they're here." It's the same.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's right. This is the same girl that Jamie saw earlier. No, they're here, my lord. And he's like, "Where? They're here, right here." And she points to the pie, and Walder's two sons are in the fucking pie. That's when she peels her face off, and it's Arya. And she gets to mark a name off her list. Fuck yes.
So who was this guy? Because I didn't remember him at all. Who is he?
He's the Red Wedding guy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. It's all piecing together.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes, he's the Red Wedding guy.
Yeah. So. Okay. So he deserved to be just, yeah.
Yeah. So we don't know where Arya will go from here. Does she go to Winterfell? My only question was, where the fuck was Brienne and Pod? Everybody else seemed to get where they were supposed to go, and Brienne and Pod are still rowing from River Run. That was it's my only one little gripe about this episode.
Yeah.
Everybody else showed the fuck back up. Oh, and winter is coming, bitches. No, I'm not coming
no,
anymore.
Winter's here.
Yeah, winter's here.
So what the fuck does that mean? Does that just mean it was finally snowing in the north, or does that actually have a, like, meaning?
Well, the dead are coming, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fixing to have to fight a much, much bigger fucking war of the dead people, so. And that was it. Yay, Game of Thrones! Yay!
So this season definitely...
Only, like, 13 more episodes, though.
Ever. What?
It was fucking, this season was so much better than last season, but now I'm sad because they're saying they're only probably at most 13 more episodes.
Well,
they're
running out of people to kill.
But yeah, what will happen? Will Dany marry Jon Snow? Will Dany marry Tyrion Lannister? Will Dany marry Jaime Lannister?
Will Dany marry Cersei?
Will Dany marry Yara Greyjoy?
Yeah, let's stop ruling out that Dany won't just, like... I don't feel like Dany... You know, she doesn't give a shit about... Maybe Dany will marry five people, because...
Maybe Dany will marry Drogon, the dragon.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't give a shit about your conventions.
No.
She... Dany doesn't give a shit. So maybe she'll marry a dragon and Tyrion and Jon Snow and Arya. Dany and Arya. That's
Dany and Arya. Dany and Arya. Dany and Yara Greyjoy.
Yeah, yeah, either of them.
Yay!
I think.
Yeah, so so that's it. That's it on Game of Thrones. So like next year, people, yay! I do have to say one thing. I did. This is a total like off of Game of Thrones thing. I did spend all of last week totally confused about which Glover was in Spider-Man Homecoming. I kept thinking, it was Danny Glover. It's totally not. It's Donald Glover. I kept thinking, like, Lethal Weapon in Spider-Man, that's going to be so cool. So, if we could, I'm not crazy. I do know which Glover is in Spider-Man now.
You thought it was going to be, like, Grandpa Glover. Like, I'm too old for this Spidey shit.
But now I want to start a campaign. Can we start a campaign to get Danny Glover
into Spider-Man? Are they related? I've assumed that they're related.
I don't think so. I don't think they are at all.
Oh. I just sort of assumed that, like, Donald Glover was, like, Danny Glover's, like, grandson or something. Kind of like, shit. Colin Hanks?
Yes.
Who, like, just suddenly was popping up everywhere. And I'm like, God, that guy, he's got a weird look to him, but he looks really familiar. I think it was Dexter where I first saw Colin Hanks. And I'm like, he looks really familiar, but in a weird way. Yeah, and then finally looked up that it's Tom Hanks' son, and, like, of course he has an acting career, because who is going to turn away Tom Hanks' son? Yeah, I just sort of assumed that this Donald Glover guy was related to Danny, so...
Well, at least you just thought he was related. I thought it was Danny Glover. Like I said, I spent all... I think I even made, like, kind of, like, Lethal Weapon, like, crack about it last week, so...
Fucking picture. Follow the links. Don't just read the headlines, people.
I think what it took was me listening to Fat Man on Batman, and then they kept saying Donald, and I was like, wait a minute, who's Donald Glover?
I am so behind on my Fat Mans. So the thing about, I went on a road trip last weekend with my cousin's 11-year-old daughter. And that's when I would normally, like, listen to all the Fat Man on Batman and just catch up. But I had an 11-year-old in the car. And so we listened to Top 40 Radio instead. And I'm really behind on my... But I'm driving to Kentucky, so I guess I'll have time to catch up on all of my podcasts.
Yes, so. And you're gonna miss Yoga Hosers, right?
Yes, that's the sad, sad thing. I'm going to miss Yoga Hosers. So
now Kevin's the one that's going to be sad because you were going to bring him a cow. So that's
right. He didn't even know. So if you listened last week, if you haven't listened last week, you should just go listen to last week's. But I had already forgotten about the plan to bring Kevin Smith a cow. And so that he could have fresh milk. I won't be able to bring him a cow, and that's so sad. Aww. And I mean, this podcast would not exist if it wasn't for the Fat Man saying that we had to start a podcast. So.
No, and the last one I listened to, he went on that little tangent again about, look, do this because there's nothing to it. Just, and if you don't want to talk about comics, get on there and talk about what you like to talk about. And you know what? If nobody listens, guess what? At least you've got conversations with your friends recorded.
Right.
And I was like, he's so right. Oh my God. He's so right. It's the best. Right. I'm trying to think. Anything else that we didn't, any Punisher news? I saw a little thing on a random blog that was saying the Punisher was going to come out November of 2017.
So that somebody started spreading that around. Somebody just started spreading that around. There is absolutely nothing. They have not announced.
Yeah, there's no proof, but I'm down for that.
But no, I think it's too early for it to happen because they haven't even started filming Punisher yet.
Well,
so
I know,
there is no way it's coming out by November because they would have to film.
It totally could. It totally could. No. They could start filming right now No, we totally could.
If they start filming right now, they would have 3 months to record the whole series.
No, November 2017.
Let me argue for no reason, Shelby!
I was like, what is she talking about? If they start filming now.
No, it's not coming out this November. that's totally, somebody just pulled that out of their ass. I mean, I tried to follow the links and follow that around. And there is, somebody just, like, there's no source behind that.
Let's will it to happen, though.
No source at all. I mean, November 2017 sounds like about when it should come out. I am really hoping, maybe, like, Luke Cage, so, the Marvel Netflix folks are going to San Diego Comic-Con.
Where we're finally going to get probably a Luke Cage trailer.
Well, no, the folks at San Diego Comic-Con will, but that shit, like, they share exclusive stuff at those cons, and we don't get to see it. And
they'll probably get a clip. They'll probably get, like, the clip shit. You know, maybe we'll get a trailer out of.
Yeah, I'm hoping Feige is there and gives us a schedule. You know, at this point, they have so many shows in development. They know where they're going to be. And I heard that Amy Rutberg podcast. Shout out to our friends over at the Defenders podcast. We'll probably have Claire on here sometime. Yay. We could have done it today. It has to be a time because she's in
England. Can we have Claire and Jeff Goldblum on the same podcast? Leave.
Yes, I will send a note to his agent, and I will not tell Claire. This will be our test. Like, does Claire listen to our podcast?
That's right.
We'll be working for Jeff Goldblum to be on our podcast with Claire because she is a huge Jeff Goldblum fan. And we, Claire had a podcast with Amy Rutberg, who is Marcy Stahl on Daredevil.
We love Marcy.
I am so insanely jealous. I just want to re-listen to that podcast over and over because I love her.
She's great.
And it's not just that I love Marcy. Like, Amy has put so much thought in the Marcy-Foggy relationship that I feel like we could hang out with her and just talk about these things for hours.
Oh, we could. She has no idea. We totally could.
It was so wonderful. So if you haven't, like, head on over to the Defenders podcast, I will make a little note here to put them in the show notes.
But she was hinting at the Defenders, right? Was she like,
Cause like Claire asked her if she was going to be in the Defenders and she didn't deny it. She didn't say, oh, I can't confirm these things. You know, or there was no open denial.
Yeah.
And it was very, she really danced around like she was trying to say she was going to be in it.
Well, it is time. Look here, Marvel, Netflix, Marco, Doug. It is time that we get some Marcy, Matt Murdock /Daredevil, like a scene. Because I would love to see those two fucking go at it.
That's true. I really would. We haven't seen Marcy
like
and Matt
some snark
together.
I want some snark back and forth between those two.
See, and what I'm really hoping, so you know, I've written this scene where, like, maybe Matt's doing whatever, and Foggy actually goes and works at Hogarth Child Benowitz. I'm really hoping that, like, Matt just hangs out there all the time.
That'd be so great.
And that Marcy is super snarky. Like, why the fuck is your puppy still in your office? Like,
yeah, just all the time cutting him down would be so great.
Yeah, I just want Marcy Matt snark all the time. And I just want Matt to be taking it. Just, like,
yeah, every once in a while maybe throw out one or two of his own. But know that that beneath it all, they do just love Foggy. It's all about the love of Foggy.
Right.
You know.
Because if there's anything from listening to that Defenders podcast, Marcy loves Foggy. And I really liked, because what she was bringing up is that Marcy loves Foggy possibly a whole lot more than Foggy loves Marcy. And I don't know, it was so cool. More Marcy. More Amy.
More Amy on everything. Amy needs to be on all of them.
Yeah, I want Amy on all the things, and I want her to hang out with us.
Yes.
Maybe when we go to Comic-Con, like, we can hang out with Marcy.
Maybe so.
So, Amy Rutberg, if you happen to be listening, we would love to chat with you. We would love to hang out with you. We
totally
just really think you're awesome. And that's not just us, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah, we just genuinely think you're awesome.
No, you can tell, you know, you can tell a lot by just how she interacts on Twitter with people, how cool she is. She's a cool person.
Yeah, she's as cool as Chris Brewster, who evidently I took over the Chris Brewster fans' Twitter.
Yay!
So it's like Brewster_fans. So in taking it over, like, I had a little, like, DM exchange with the Brewski himself.
With the brew. With the ninja. Brewski, you talk to a ninja.
And evidently when Jean handed over the Twitter account, she was, like, put in a plug for Super Ladies, like, encouraging him to be on the show.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my God.
She did. So props to Jean, who used to run that account. And I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like Brewski's done a lot of interviews recently. So
yeah, we'll wait. Maybe I'm kind we'll of waiting wait till to see after.
What he's in next, because I feel like he's been up to a lot. And he...
Yeah, maybe leading up to the Defenders or after the Defenders, we can talk ninja stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
With him.
That's... I mean, I'm sure we can talk Brewski into coming and chatting with us at some point. He is very friendly.
At some point.
And I have DM'd with him before, and he is just very...
That's a whole other story, folks. We will have to tell that story one day, too.
One day we'll tell that story. But, but I mean, since we're speaking of potential and future guests, we do have one guest that is checking... Well,
Don't even say her name yet.
Okay.
Don't even.
All right, but we
just
have
Peaches.
We have a guest that we are super excited. She is just checking with the powers that be to make sure that they won't assassinate her for being on our podcast, because our number one goal in all things Marvel is not to get anybody Marvel assassinated.
Exactly.
They are so strict about the confidentiality and everything. We don't want to get anybody in trouble. So this particular guest, it is a she. We call her Peaches. She has said that she would love to be on the show. She is checking with the powers that be.
And yeah, we know her from the way back.
We know her from way back. She is a wonderful person, and I am so excited. That's going to be, like, the best. I mean, seriously, like, we can have a podcast with, like, all of these people. I mean, I think I am just as excited about her as if we had a podcast scheduled with Charlie.
Yeah,
which we
like
don't.
Danny Rand. No. Call us, Charlie.
I mean, anything, because, like, I feel like I could just, like, turn on the podcast and be podcasting with Peaches.
Yes.
And I wouldn't have all the nerves. Like, if we were podcasting with, like, Charlie or Finn or something, I would feel such pressure for our audience to make it a Super Ladies special.
Yes.
Yeah, and all of those questions. Yeah, because I get so frustrated with other interviews that they're not asking the right questions. I promise you, with Peaches, we will probably not ask the right questions.
No, we'll probably have a question list. These are only the questions you can ask. So.
Oh yeah.
No, we'll see. So, I don't know.
That's cool. I mean, like, we can hang out with Peaches, and she can just talk about what she wants to talk about. That will be exciting. I am just very excited.
I can't even say what we could talk about. Never mind, because that will give it away, and I don't want to give away who she is. So, beep.
That's true.
Shutting my mouth now.
That's true. I mean, if people are listening to us and they know who Peaches, I mean,
yeah, don't comment if you know who she is.
We've called her Peaches for a very long time, so it's not anything. It's not a super secret code name.
No.
But,
trying to keep this like super top secret.
Like, oh, super top secret. Like, we totally did all the negotiating via Twitter. So,
but yeah, and it may come before. It may come like in the next few weeks, and it may come in the next few months.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll see. I'm really excited about that.
I'm excited about the future, man. All things the future.
All things the future.
I'm excited. The Secret Life of Pets comes out this week. I'll be talking about that next week, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to see it.
I know.
I mean, even if I was going to see it, I yeah.
It's going to be so great, though. Secret Life of Pets, yay. Yay. Been... All things yay.
I mean, if you're wanting to see about the life of awesome pets, I yes. wrote the world's yes. best obituary for my dog this week.
That was awesome.
On my personal blog, girlfromtobaccoville.com, you can read all about Roxy the dog, who had a pretty incredible life for a dog.
She was a fucking rock star.
Yeah. She, if you're needing to see about the life of real pets, but I don't think I emotionally can handle like going to a movie about pets right now.
No, oh, I understand. I understand. And that, you said it wasn't your thing anyway, so.
Well, I mean, I don't go to the movies. Like, I forced myself to go to Civil War.
And Deadpool. You like Deadpool.
Deadpool. I mean, I enjoy, but it's just not something.
Well, I have big plans. I have big plans to go see Tarzan this weekend, like The Purge next weekend, but now Secret Life of Pets is out. So, yeah, I don't know that I'll make it to see, but maybe one of those three. We'll see.
And I might, I mean, you know, if I just need to, like, distract myself, seeing Eric Skarsgård half naked for, like, a whole movie.
Right?
I can handle me some Tarzan.
Yeah.
And I'm
those Skarsgård boys are...
I think I'm mispronouncing his name. I think it's like Skarsgård.
Which one is it? Alexander? Which one is this? Which one's in this movie?
He's
Alexander Skars?
No,
Alexander.
Alexander. Yeah, his character was Eric. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And
same thing.
Yeah,
Eric Alexander Skarsgård.
Because he was in True Blood.
Yes. And I enjoy Bill Skarsgård was in Hemlock Grove, and I enjoy him too. I love the Skarsgård boys.
That's a whole family. Yeah, it's a whole family of like really hot men. Like their father was the Swedish actor that's super popular in Sweden.
There's another one too, and I forget his name. He's on Vikings. There's another Skarsgård, and he's on Vikings, and I love him too. He plays Floki.
If there's anybody that should be on Vikings, it's a Skarsgård.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Hells yeah. Yeah. And before we go, one last little shout out. I don't know if you read the little New York.
Yes.
The little article about Charlie.
Yes, about how he's losing money by being.
If there's no doubt that this guy loves what he does, and if you I don't know how you could read that and not love the guy just even more. He is so genuine and down to earth and like, he lost money on this play, which I figured as much. I didn't figure he was
I mean, we looked when he first started being in the play. We had looked at the casting call.
Yes.
The casting call had, like, the rate that they were paying the actors. And, yeah, there's no money for acting in theater. Yeah. Unless your name is Lin-Manuel Miranda. But...
And you still have a chance, people, this week. I don't know when this podcast will go up. It might be after the play is already... ended, but you still have a chance to go see it. I think Sunday's the last day.
Sunday, July 11th.
Yeah, 10th, I think, or maybe it's only the night they go. It's not their 10th. I don't know. Okay. But our friend Anne Marie's going.
Yay!
Yay, Anne Marie! Tell Charlie we said hello.
Yay! I'm so excited. But, I wonder if Anne Marie, and if she's going to hang out and, like, chat with Charlie. And
she should totally hang out. And just because he's going to come out and be nice and be Charlie. I mean, God, you just want to, the thing is that it's not even about, like, meeting Charlie or seeing Charlie again. It's about just, like, appreciating Charlie. That's the way I look at it. It's about like, I just got to show this guy appreciation. This guy fucking goes all in and all out for every role that he's ever done.
Maybe Amory can come on for a little bit next week and tell us about meeting Charlie.
Or just, can we talk incognito again? And the rest of our podcast listeners go, no!
People are sick of incognito, Shelby. Stop it.
But incognito is the best. I want her to come on for a little bit just to talk about maybe what she gets.
Yeah, because she's like, I mean, like, she has a Master of Fine Arts and really mm-hmm. does theater and goes to theater and all that. So I'd be really interested to know what she thinks. So we'll talk to Amory.
Amory, we're calling Amory's you out.
Amory's listening. What the...
We're calling you out, Amory.
She's listening. Unless this hour and 40-minute mark, she's like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, she probably turned us off somewhere around Danny Glover.
Probably. No. So on that note, I promise to get this one uploaded more quickly.
I'm starting the Danny Glover Spider-Man Homecoming campaign right now.
All right.
And if it does happen, you'll know that it's all because of me, folks. Okay, people.
All right. See you next week when we don't have a theme song.
We're gonna put up our reading list. We're gonna put up the code to Daredevil 8. And was there anything else? That's it. Use our Amazon link and leave comments. Send email. We love you.
And iTunes reviews.
And we'll be back.
Yay! Bye.